Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
There we go.
You never can tell, do I need to push a button? Just generally, yes, push the button. So welcome, everybody. Welcome, CSL Bellingham. My name is Leo Brody. I am what we call the practitioner of the day. We take turns. We practitioners take turns doing that. And it means that I have the privilege of doing the invocation for this morning's service. And also to welcome you all to submit prayers, if you have prayers, prayer requests. As practitioners, we love to pray. And we do that in many ways. We look in the jar after every Sunday and take home any slips of paper that you've put in there with your prayer request. And there's a little tablet over there on that little dresser kind of thing by the door. And we also have every weekday at 7 a.m. just a 10-minute or so prayer online, so you don't have to get dressed or anything like that. You don't even have to turn your camera on. But you can receive some inspiration for the day, and it's 5 days a week. So that's always a fun thing to do, a good way to start the day. And then anytime you want to speak to one of us practitioners for prayer support, we wear these stoles. If we're wearing the stoles, it means we're kind of in service. We're open. We're open for biz. So knowing that, all is good, and it's so great to see everybody here. Such a great crowd and such an exciting time for our center. Now we can turn within, because even while all this great stuff is happening in the outside world, or sometimes horrible stuff is happening in the outside world, despite all of that, we always know that we have a connection, a permanent, solid, continuous connection with the one high and holy truth, the source of all. We know that that is always there, present. It's always operating through us, in us, and as us. So if we can remember that, to the extent that we can remember that and keep that in mind, we always know that we have the support that we need, because that support is life itself. So therefore, life is supported by life. So I know now that this service is absolutely blessed, that the talk is wonderful. I know that's true because it's my wife. But I know that all of the service is here perfectly. People say what needs to be said. You need to hear. You hear what you need to hear. It's all unfolding in divine perfection. The band is playing at the top of their game. And we're lucky enough to be able to be part of the service and be part of this wonderful community. And with that I say, and so it is.
Well, I'm really glad to be here this morning. And when I was getting ready for this talk, which is Radiating Your Real Worth, I started to think about Edwin Gaines. Now, how many of you have heard Edwin Gaines speak? Yeah, I've heard her several times. And she wrote a book called The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, A Simple Guide to Unlimited Abundance. Side note, simple is not necessarily easy. We're going to talk about those four spiritual laws. But I want to say that Edwin Gaines, whenever she takes the stage, she comes on. I'm going to channel some Edwin Gaines. She comes out and she says, "My name is Edwin Gaines, and I am a woman of power." I believe that, right? So, "My name is Cindy Clay, and I am a woman of power." There you go. Because I want you to feel Edwin this morning, because we're going to talk about the laws that create unlimited abundance in your life. So the first time I read that book, I got to tell you, my buttons got a little bit pushed. Because she says in the book, you want to start with the big frog first, tackle the big frog. So the first spiritual law of prosperity, do you know what it is? Tithing. Are your buttons pushed yet? Because that's how I felt when I thought that. We have an instant negative reaction to the idea of tithing. No, 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 you cannot tell me to give up 10% of my income. No, no, no. It's precious to me. But what tithing is giving 10% of all you receive back to your source of spiritual nourishment. Think about that. Back to your source. So, why is tithing the first law of spiritual abundance? Because in order to do that, in order to release 10% of what you say is yours back to the source of your spiritual nourishment, you have to know that God is your source. It is an affirmation that God is your source and supply. You have to cultivate something, a faith in something greater than yourself, a faith in something that is expressing as you, moving as you, radiating as you in the universe, okay? And that's where it comes from. So I got interested in what Ernest Holmes might say, and he talks about opening a spiritual bank account in the bank of life, where you deposit joy and happiness and faith. You deposit love. And you do that because you're gonna hit times when it feels like an emergency or a crisis, where you have a health crisis or something happens that hurts you, okay? And so Ernest Holmes says you want to have that bank account filled so that you can draw on it in times of crisis. You can draw on it with confidence. So he tells us that our bank account, the bank of life, this is a quote, is the real substance that we can draw upon to purchase every good and beautiful thing that life has in store for us. Here alone are peace and joy and certainty. Here alone is freedom from fear and doubt. Deliberately close all your accounts with the lesser banks and learn to turn daily to the one and only supreme source, which is God. So I just want to be clear, the lesser banks are not like Bank of America and Chase Bank and BECU. You can keep those bank accounts open. The lesser banks are your accounts in the bank of fear, in the bank of doubt, in the bank of hate, in the bank of victimhood. He says, close those accounts. So tithing is a declaration of faith that affirms that God is your source, all right? A powerful stand. So Leo and I have tithed for over 25 years. And I got to tell you, we don't regret it one little bit. Because all our needs have been beautifully met over our time together. Now, does that mean that we never had financial difficulties? We never ran into challenges? Nope, it doesn't. But that constant commitment to our spiritual source, to giving back to the source of our nourishment, has always supported us. And all our needs have always been beautifully met. In fact, there was one year, so we had a business together, a training development company, and one year we just didn't do as well as I expected that we would do. And we, through the year, you know, were not able to pay ourselves as much as we had done the previous year, but we kept making that commitment. We kept fulfilling the commitment that we had made. And at the end of the year, as I was looking at our finance, I realized that we had actually given 20% back to the source of our spiritual nourishment. And it was kind of like, oops. But, you know, we didn't notice during the year because all our needs were met throughout the whole year. It was quite amazing. So if this whole tithing business feels impossible, like just no way I can do that, I want to tell you about another book. And it was written by another spiritual teacher of prosperity and abundance named Florence Shin. Have you heard of her? So she wrote a book called The Game of Life and How to Play It. And what I love about that is when you make it a game, doesn't it instantly feel like, oh, I can do a game, right? That's easy. So make it a game. So as you're thinking about, we're in the middle of our intentional giving campaign, and as you're thinking about what is yours to do to contribute to this spiritual community, maybe you have never made a pledge. So maybe that's yours to do. Maybe that's the first step toward tithing, is just to make a commitment to give 1%, 2%, 3%, whatever it is that's right for you, to just make the commitment, write it down, and go, I'm doing it, and I'm doing it month after month, instead of leaving it kind of willy-nilly whenever you feel like you have some money. And you can also put that into automatic giving, which I highly recommend. So I highly recommend that you just make that a regular thing that happens, comes out of your bank account. You can do that through the office. We're happy to set that up for you. Because that is the first step to building your faith in an abundant universe. And you can always call the office and adjust it up or down, depending on how the year is going. Because that's the other thing that often stops us, is we think, well, I don't know. Especially if we're entrepreneurs, we think, I don't know how much money I'm going to make. Well, take a wild guess and then see how the year unfolds, and maybe you get to increase it because the year is going really well. Maybe you have to notch it down a little bit. That's okay, because this is about making the commitment. Here's another baby step toward tithing, and this one I actually think is really fun, and that is to tithe 10% of your unexpected income. So it's not what you regularly make. It's I'm gonna play with tithing on anything unexpected. I will tell you that last year, Leo and I got a check from the Treasury Department. We're looking at this envelope going, that looks very official. And we open it up, and there is a check for $2,800. And we were just like, that must be a scam. We're like holding it up to the light, trying to see, is this real? And we finally realized that there had been a pandemic benefit where the government sent $1,400 to individuals, and we never received that. We never thought about it. We never claimed it on our taxes as a tax credit. And so this was the U.S. government going, hey, you guys, here. Well, we looked at that. We were like thrilled to have unexpected income, but we immediately went, we're tithing on that. So we sat down and wrote a check for $280 to CSL Bellingham. And it felt so good to share that. To share that bounty that had just come to us, surprise, and to go, thank you, God, and to give back 10%. So you can make a game of it. Keep a journal. Record anytime anybody gives you something, right? If someone takes you out to lunch, you know, they say, hey, I'll cover this. Write down the amount of your lunch in your little journal. If somebody buys you a latte, write down the amount of the latte. At the end of the month, total it up and give 10% of your unexpected bounty back to your source. Okay, so that's another way to play with it. Edwin says, just by opening your mind to the concept of tithing as a cornerstone of a prosperous life, you have taken the first essential step in your spiritual journey. Okay, so for some of you, you're like, move on. That's okay. We're going to talk about the second spiritual law. And the second spiritual law is goal setting. I know some of you are breathing a great sigh of relief, because you set goals all the time. You're like, that I can do. But here's the thing. For some people, goal setting feels really risky. Isn't that funny? It's like not a comfortable process to put down on paper what you think you're going to accomplish, what you say you're going to do. I've taught goal setting for years because I taught leadership development programs. And so I can't tell you the number of people who tell me, I do not like to set goals. And I don't like it because I'm afraid I'm going to be disappointed when I don't reach them. Or I'm afraid that if I don't reach them, I'll feel like a failure. I don't want to have that experience, so I'm just not going to set them. I'm just going to putter along here, doing my work, let things flow. But here's the thing about goals. Goals simply describe what you intend to accomplish. This is where I'm putting my energy. This is where I'm directing my energy. That's all they do. Now, for me, I love vision boards. I love thinking about what is it I want to accomplish and then putting that into a vision board with all the pictures of it. So I had a vision board up in my office before we moved to Bellingham from Seattle. And it had on it a picture of Greece and Peru and Egypt. These were all places I want to go. So that was 7 years ago. And guess what? I have taken all those trips to all those places. That was my intention. I did it. There was a picture of a house. We knew one day we were going to move to Bellingham because our grandkids are up here. And there was a picture, I found a picture of a view from a deck of a house of Bellingham Bay and Lummi Island. And I looked at that picture for 2 years. When we moved to Bellingham, guess what we bought? A house with a view of Bellingham Bay and Lummi Island. Okay? I had a picture on there of me speaking to audiences who adored me. Yeah, guess what? Yeah, so that's really all we're talking about here is, are you drifting aimlessly or are you directing your energy? Okay, that's really all that goal setting does. And that is the second spiritual law. And there's a reason for that. Edwin Gaines says, your desires are holy. You didn't make them up. They were implanted in you by God. I love that. So you tune into those desires and create your intentions around them. When you want something, when you yearn for something, that's a holy gift from your source. So pay attention. Several years ago, my husband Leo went to an intentions retreat. It was a weekend retreat. And when he came back, he knew that what he wanted to do was play music in New Thought churches. But he had no idea how to go about making that happen. He just knew, this is a desire of my heart. So what he did was set about making that welcome in his life. Even though he had no invitations to play anywhere, he started learning New Thought songs on the piano, practicing them and singing them, and imagining himself in front of a church audience playing. And guess what happened? By the end of the year, he had several invitations from churches to be a guest musician and to play, and that set him on this path of fulfilling that heartfelt desire. Because he plays now here in the band. Yeah. So, in the game of life and how to play it, Florence Shinn says, if you ask for success and prepare for failure, you will get the situation you've prepared for. Now, I want you to hear that Leo asked for success and prepared for success. You hear that? He started acting as if. But when I read this quotation, it took me back because I realized I was always making backup plans. People, my backup plans have backup plans. I'm ready for anything. It's like I was saying, here, God, you take a crack at this, but if you can't do it, I've got my backup plan, right? Because I really just wasn't trusting fully. So you can see why goal setting is the second spiritual practice. Because when you set that goal, you have to partner with the divine. So make it a big one. Make it a big goal that you feel like I can't possibly do this by myself. That's the place where your source rushes in to support you. Okay. Edwin says, you are a child of God. You are an expression of the Most High. You are a point of light within the greater light. Almost anything is possible that you want to achieve. Whew. This is why I love Edwin Gaines. That's so inspiring. All right, let's look at the third spiritual law. And the third spiritual law is forgiveness. Now, I know I've talked about forgiveness before because this law is really important to me. Here's Edwin telling us this is so important. It's one of the four spiritual laws that leads to an abundant life. She says we have to forgive everyone, including ourselves. Okay? I'll read what she says. The person who has learned to forgive themselves simply and directly, and who has come to believe that God eternally forgives, and who has learned to forgive all others, finally comes to a place where they know that the divine is for them, not against them. They reach a place where they know that love is the great reality. Whew. So when we forgive, we get peace of mind, we get serenity, we stop letting negative emotions run our lives. That's where we feel the power of it. But the reason it's a spiritual law is because it demonstrates that we know the universe is for us and not against us. You've probably heard the expression, the universe is in a conspiracy for my benefit, right? That is the concept of pronoia, the opposite of paranoia. Okay. Pronoia says, I'm waiting for something good to happen, right? I'm not waiting for something bad to happen, that other shoe to drop. I'm expecting good to happen. So the way we begin to trust the eternal givingness of life is we forgive. And we realize the universe never punishes. The universe loves. We stop waiting for people to get punished for their mistakes. We stop thinking we're being punished for our mistakes. We forgive ourselves for our mistakes. We forgive other people for their mistakes. Now, we do sometimes suffer the consequences of our mistakes. If we're misusing spiritual law, we'll experience things that we don't like. But that's not the universe punishing us. Because the minute we correct those mistakes, the minute we align ourselves with spirit, we experience the abundance and the bounty again of the universe. Okay? So here's the thing about forgiveness. If you practice forgiveness, you can no longer live in victimhood. This is a big one. Can you give up? Can you give up the idea that you are at the mercy of another person? Can you give up the idea that you are at the mercy of a politician, of an administration, of a government, of any organization? Can you give that up? Because when you do, when you forgive them all, and you align yourself with the universe that only loves, there's no place for victimhood in that. Ernest Holmes tells us, you cannot enter the kingdom of abundance bemoaning your lot. Thank you, Ernest. That's real clear. Okay? If I want to be in the kingdom of abundance, I have to embrace this idea that the universe is here, loving me, supporting me, benefiting me. And it is doing that for everyone else. All right, our fourth spiritual law. So the fourth spiritual law is to discover and follow your life purpose. That sounds easy. I'm just laughing because I know some people are like, I don't know what my life purpose is. But you know, it's interesting because when I look back at my life, I see my life purpose in how I related to people and situations. Okay, I can see it all the way back to high school and middle school. I can see as I do that, that what gives me joy, what gives meaning to my life is influencing my behavior. And you can see the same thing. What activities and practices do you engage in and have you engaged in your whole life that allow you to serve humanity, that allow you to experience joy in your expression? And that harm no one, including yourself. And in that, so you can reflect, look back, take a look at what's moving through you, you'll see your life purpose. And it's really fun to put that into words. Here's a quote from Ernest Holmes. When life created us, it gave us the two great endowments of God, the two highest gifts of heaven, love and creativity. Love so that we may have confidence in life, a sense of security and peace and joy in living. Creativity so that we can really live as persons and express ourselves individually. Life has done very well by us. Would it be too much to say that God has given us the best? And then let us alone to discover ourselves. I love that. My purpose, your life purpose, is to discover your individual way to use the God-given gifts of love and creativity. I'm carrying that thought into my whole week next week, to just see where I have the chance to show up expressing love and creativity. So throughout my life, as I've looked back, I can see that I have always helped people value their talents I have always been a witness to the best in people. I have always held the space for them to show up to be who they truly are and to live life full out. And so because I'm in ministerial school, I got a chance to kind of think more about that and finally put that purpose into words. And this is what I say. My purpose is to help people discover, trust, and live their spiritual magnificence. Now, that's mine. Okay, and I'm inspired by that. That makes me happy. I live that purpose even when I'm playing pickleball. So if you're wondering what your divine purpose is, if it's not clear to you yet, because I know for some of you it's very clear, you can put it into words, but just take some time to reflect on how you seem to show up when you show up in service to a community, to a relationship, to other people. And see if you can put your divine purpose in writing and put it in words, because I can tell you it'll give you great pleasure to be able to do that and then practice living your divine purpose. So we've been talking about four spiritual laws of prosperity. And the first, play with tithing. Okay? Give back to the source of your spiritual nourishment freely. Give back. The second is set goals. Intentionally direct your energy toward what you want to manifest in your life. The third is forgive everyone, including yourself. Give up victimhood. Life only wants good for you. And the fourth is discover and follow your unique life purpose. And when you do that, you will radiate your real worth and you will live a life of unlimited abundance. So let's take that into prayer. I am breathing in the fullness of love and life, the fullness of abundance. And I recognize that right here and right now, each one of us is sitting in unlimited potential. Each one of us has the capacity to step into the river of life, to join that dance of giving and receiving, to know what it feels like to live full out, expressing our God-given gifts of love and creativity. That is such a wonderful place to be, to stand in that knowing that the universe is for us and wants only good for us. I am so grateful for the teachers of prosperity and abundance who know what laws we need to embrace to reveal that goodness in our lives. And so I say thank you, Ernest Holmes. Thank you, Edwin Gaines. Thank you, Florence Shin. And I release these words now into the creative medium, knowing that love and creativity is manifesting beautifully in each of our lives. I say thank you, sweet spirit. And so it is.